ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः एव्रि क्लास् ऐल् रिमैण्ड् यू फर् टु मिनिट्स् of the past few things what I said in the previous classes. In this Upanishad, Brihadaranyakam, belonging to Shukla Yajurveda, we saw there are three khandas, three parts, and each khandaha consists of two chapters. And each chapter consists of many sections. And the section is called Brahmanam. So in this first khanda, first chapter, presents the teaching. Accepting the universe as real. First chapter, the teaching of first chapter is for the Adhyarupa Prakriya, and the content of the second chapter reveals Apavada Prakriya, which means the prakriyas are, the method of unfoldment are not directly revealed there. We know the adhyaropaha means superimposition, and the superimposition means the reality, the absoluteness is superimposed upon the universe, which means the universe is accepted as real universe. It is very real. And even though universe is not real, it is as though it is mithya, but it is taken to be real. Upanishad accepts the universe to be real. So when the universe, when the Upanishad accepts the universe as real, the Upanishad's acceptance of the universe as reality is what adhyaropaha. And later on, when the Upanishad is going to help us see the fact of universe being mithya and universe will be negated as non-real, as mithya, it's called apavadaha. So we will understand how the universe is going to be negated as mithya in the second chapter. And now in the first chapter, we see the universe being accepted as satyam. To present the universe as real, or Upanishad's acceptance of universe as reality is not directly presented by discussing the Srishti, but here the Upasanams are taken, because Upasanam and the Phalams, Karma and the Phalams, they're all means and the ends, and the means and the ends form part of the universe. Therefore, when the means and ends in terms of karma and karma phalam, upasana, upasana phalam, which form part of the universe, is taken for discussion. This is only itself is what stands for accepting the universe as reality. And so here, the first chapter, in the first three mantras, I said the upasanam is discussed. And the first upasanam discussed is the Virad upasanam, or I can say Ashva upasanam, which we already see. And I told you already, we are not going to practice this upasanam. It is only understand the upasanam and understand the limitation of the benefit of upasanam. Upasanam is discussed here, mentioned here. So Ashva upasanam is a upasanam prescribed as a part of the Ashwamedha Yaga. And for a non-Kshatriya or for a Brahmana, the Ashva Upasanam itself can be practiced as an independent Upasanam, Swatantra Upasanam. For a Kshatriya, it is a Karmanga Upasanam. These facts we already seen. And towards the end, I said, the last class, this Ashvaha, which literally means hearts, is an alambanam for the Virat. Virat is the Lord looked upon as the gross manifestation, the entire gross manifestation being looked upon as the Lord is given the name Virat. So Ashvaha is a hearts. Ashvaha symbolizes Virat, the gross manifestation. So the hearts has two meanings, Ashvaha and Virat, gross manifestation and the hearts. And here, the hearts has originated from the ocean. And Virat also has originated from the Ishvaraha. And Lord also, Ishvara is also called Samudraha. Ocean is called Samudraha, Ishvara, the Lord all is called Samudraha. Why? Because the word Samudraha has a beautiful explanation. Girve Shankara, Samudpadya Asmin Bhutani Samudpadya Asmin Dravanti Iti Samudraha. The beings originate from this and resolve in this. Therefore, Ishvara is also called Samudraha. So the gross manifestation has emerged from the unmanifest universe Ishvara. Ishvara stands for the unmanifest universe and Virat stands for the gross manifestation. So where has the Virat manifested from? Virat has manifested from Ishvara. And what is Ishvara? Ishvara is universe unmanifest is, when you look at the unmanifest universe as Ishvara, the Lord, use the name Ishvara. When you look at the gross manifestation as the Lord, you give the name Virat. So Ishvara means Antaryami Ishvara. The unmanifest universe, when the universe, unmanifest universe, is looked at as the Lord, what is the name given? Antaryamishvaraha. And when we look at this gross manifestation as the Lord, the name given is Virat. So where has this Virat come from? Virat has come from the Antaryamishvaraha. Unmanifest alone has become manifest. Antaryamishvara has become Viradishvara. Therefore, the word Antaryamishvara also means Samudraha. And which is the, in Puranas, there's a story that hearts is born out of the ocean. And here, the Virat symbolized by the Ashva is also born out of the Samudraha. The word Samudraha means the ocean. The word samudraha also means antaryamishwaraha. So from the ocean, the heart has come into existence. As the lineage, all the horses are seen to be, to have come from the Uchchaishravas. The heart has come from the ocean. During when the Asuras and Devas, this is a story. When they churned the ocean, it seems as there was a battle between Asuras and Devas. They churned the ocean. When they were churning the ocean, from the ocean came many things. And one of the things which came from the ocean is Ashwaha. Therefore, the ocean is said to be the origin of Ashwaha. And another word we can say, even the for the Virat also, Antaryami Ishwaraha is also known as Samudraha, because Samudraha, another meaning of Samudraha is that from which all the beings originate and resolve. That from which all the beings originate and resolve is also called ocean. Therefore, ocean, the Samudraha, which stands for Ishwara, is said to be the origin of Virat. Anyway, this don't get confused. This we saw already last class. I want to tell you one thing. The word Samudraha has two meanings. One meaning is ocean. Another meaning is Antaryamishwaraha. And how come that we give two meanings for one word, Samudraha? Look at the ocean as a source of the origin of the hearts. And the same ocean, when look at it as Ishwara, it is the origin of the Virat. So, Antari, unmanifest universe, symbol is called Vira, the Antaryamishwara, from which the manifest universe has come into existence. This is something I want to tell you, which is something to do with the last class lessons. Let me go ahead with the new lesson today. And this new, the second chapter, the first chapter itself, we have finished the first section called First Brahmanam, wherein this Ashwa Upasana is discussed. In the second Brahmanam, that is second section, the second Upasana is discussed. What is second Upasana? It's the Agni Upasana. Second is Agni Upasanam. So in the second Brahmanam, Agni Upasanam is discussed. And Agni Upasanam is also what Virad Upasanam only. Agnihi is the Alambanam symbol. Like in the previous Upasanam, the previous meditation, Ashwaha is the Alambanam and Virad is the object of meditation. Gross manifestation, Lord in the form of gross universe. In the second Upasanam also, Agni Upasanam also, Agnihi is the Alambanam, the symbol. And upon this Agni, who is meditated upon is the Lord in the form of gross universe, Virat. So, Upasyaha Vishayaha, same Virat. The object of meditation, both the meditations is the one and the same Virat. Ashwa Upasanam is also Virat Upasanam. Agni Upasanam is also Virat Upasanam. But the difference is Alambanam, the difference is in the Alambanam, the symbol. In the previous Upasanam, the symbol was the hearts. The second Upasanam, the symbol is the fire, Agnihi. Agni Upasanam. Again, which Agni, which fire? We don't simply take any fire as such. Even the fire stands for the fire element. And here the fire mentioned is Ashwamedhika Agnihi. Ashwamedhika Agnihi means the fire used in the fire kindled for performing the Ashwamedha Yaga. Fire kindled especially for performing the Ashwamedha Yaga. is that fire itself is taken as an alambanam. The alambanam, a symbol on which we are supposed to meditate upon the whole universe, Virat. Amazing. You see, the people perform the ritual called Ashwamedha Yaga, a particular fire ritual. And for any performing any ritual, they have to kindle the fire first. When the fire is kindled, and this fire kindled specially for performing the Ashwamedha Yaga is called what? Ashwamedhika Agnihi. Ashwamedhika Agnihi. Or Ashwamedhika Agnihi means fire kindled specially for performing Ashwamedha Yaga. There is ritual. And this fire here is an alambanam, a symbol. And on this fire, we are supposed to meditate upon. This fire is a symbol. We have to visualize the total Virat, the Lord in the form of the entire gross manifestation, the entire gross universe. The Lord Ishvara in the form of the entire gross universe, known by the term Virat, has to be meditated upon this fire. Which means Ashwamedha Agnihi, Ashwamedhika Agnihi now stands for the Virat, the Lord in the form of the entire gross universe. Okay, fine. Therefore, this upasanam also can be called Agni Upasanam or Agni Virat Upasanam. It's also another Virat Upasanam. Okay. Now the thing is, when this fire is taken, I'm taking you step by step. Okay. Now when the fire is taken as a symbol for this whole Virat, the entire gross manifest. See, fire is one of the five elements. And there's so many things in the world. And of that five elements also, this particular fire is what? Kindled for performing this particular ritual. And how can this such a small fire, which is part of the whole, symbolize the entire gross manifestation? Just as one given wave is taken as a representative, a symbol for the entire ocean. One particular, one of the manifestations is this fire. And that this fire kindled for performing this ritual is taken as an alambanam for symbolizing, representing the entire gross manifestation, entire gross universe. Samagra Vishwarupaha. And here, therefore, Upanishad always presents the glory of the fire. Why do we take the fire as an alambanam for a symbol for the total gross manifestation? How do we take it? And to talk about the glory of the fire, how glorious this fire is, therefore it can serve as an alambanam symbol for the Virat. Upanishad wants to talk about the glory of the fire. And to talk about the glory of the fire, Upanishad mentions that the origin of the fire. See, what do we do even now? Whenever we want to talk about our own glories, when we don't have anything of our own, we always talk about our grandparents. My grandfather was so-and-so, my grandmother was so-and-so, you know, my great-grandparents were so-and-so, my parents were so-and-so. We always talk about the family reputation and the family in which we come from, you know, to talk about our own glory. I come from such and such a family. The same way here also, what does Upanishad do? To talk about the glory of the fire, why fire is taken as an alambanam here, Upanishad talks about the, please all of you listen, I don't want to watch anything else. You have to learn to be, see, Upanishad does teach something, convey something. It's because if you feel bored with the class also, doesn't mean it is useless. It is going to take you slowly to something else. And a lot of things you need to listen to. What it says, even if it's boring, you have to open listen. Then it's going to tell you something. Anyway, so what I'm saying here, this Agni's origin of this Agni fire is presented by the Upanishad. Therefore, the Agni is said to, what is this? Agni has its origin. Agni has come from the great source. You know, Agni has origin, a great source, which means the source of Agni is something very great. It's going to talk about it, which means Agni's origin is discussed. To talk about the source of Agni, Upanishad presents the Srishtihi. Here comes the Srishti Prakriya. Until now, Srishti is not directly discussed. Srishti Prakriya is going to be presented. Where has this Agni come from? Now, before we go to that thing, we are going to see some important Bhashyam. Okay? You take the mantra and let us read the next mantra, first important mantra. See, now I'm going to tell you, I'm entering into the second Brahmanam, second section, first mantra. And in the second Brahmanam, the first mantra, Agni Upasanam is discussed. Meditation upon the Ashwamedhik Agnihi. And that Agni symbolizes Virat, stands for the Virat. And for Agni to represent Virat, the whole, it must have some greatness. So Upanishad talks about the greatness of the Agni, and for which Upanishad discusses the origin of the Agni. Srishtihi is discussed. Why Srishti is discussed? The very opening sentence is what now? Here, the creation is analyzed. There's an analysis of the creation presented in the first mantra of the second Brahman, second section. Srishtihi means the creation is analyzed. And what is creation analyzed here? Creation is analyzed to say that, to talk about the origin of the source of the fire. You know, where has fire come from? What is source of the fire? To talk about it, Srishtihi is discussed. And so, the first sentence, read the first sentence, and I'm going to stop with the only one sentence today. We are going to go to the next sentence. Listen. Naiveha kinchana
Agre asit
Naiveha Very important sentence. Naiveha
Kinchana
Agre asit Mrityunayeva
idam
avritam asit Naiveha kinchanagra agre asit. So here, na, the first letter is what? Na. Na means not. Na eva, not at all. Na eva, not at all. Iha, here. Kinchana, something. Agre, before the creation of the universe, asit, existed. What does it mean? Put everything together. Before the creation, nothing existed. Nothing was existent. nothing existed before the creation. Iha agre kinchana na naiva asit. Only one sentence. Nothing was there before the creation of the universe. And this sentence, when the Upanishad starts like this, before this universe came into existence, nothing was there. Na eva naiva iha asid agre. Naiva iha kinchana agre asid. One sentence is enough today. Nothing existed before the creation. What happens? This sentence sounds. When you say nothing existed before the creation, means what? It sounds like the shunyavadaha. The sentence sounds like the expression of a shunyavadaha, shunyavadi. Nothing existed before the creation. Therefore, other people, the other philosophers who are holding on to this view that nothing existed before the creation. And they may take this sentence and they may take it easy. They can interpret it. They can quote this sentence to present their argument. This Upanishad, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the very first chapter, the second Brahmanam, second section, the very first mantra, opening sentence, it is said, Naiveha Kinchana Agre Asit. Naiveha Kinchana Agre Asit. Nothing existed before the universe, creation of the universe. This sentence can be mistaken. They can be taken easily by other schools of thought and who are given to nihilism, and they can quote this as Upanishad Shruti Pramanam, and they can easily say nothing existed before the creation, and they can establish the Shunyavada. Therefore, Shankar Bhagavatpada does here, and he wants to, before others misuse this expression, before others mistake this sentence, and he wanted to clarify certain doubts. He wanted to make it clear. There are people, especially Buddhists, and who are given to the Shunyavada. Therefore, Shankar Bhagavatpada takes this particular line and makes it clear that this sentence should not be quoted by the nihilists, quoted by the people, for the argument that nothing existed before the creation. And to present his argument, and Shankar Bhagavatpada is going to negate that nothing existed before the creation, is the view of Buddhists. In Buddhism, there are four branches. Of the four branches, there is one particular branch called Yogachara Bauddhaha. Yogachara Bauddhaha, or you can say Shunyavadinaha. Kshanika Vijnanavadinaha. So many, four branches are there in Buddhism. Yogachara Bauddhaha or Kshanika Vijnana Vadinaha. Kshanika Vijnana Vadinaha or Yogachara Bauddhaha. They both names are the same. They can easily say nothing existed is a common view of all the Buddhists. So they may quote it. So Shankar Bhagavatpada wanted to establish his view that there are three group of people. The one group of people does not believe in the existence of the cause. They're called asat karana asadvadinaha. Karana asadvadinaha means the people who hold on to the view there was no cause before the creation of the universe. And there are some people who say there was no karanam was there, but there's no effect before the creation of the universe. So karana asadvadinaha, then karya asadvadinaha. Karana asadvadinaha means people who say there was no cause before the creation of the universe. There are some people who say there was no effect before the creation of the universe. Cause was there, but there's no effect was there. For karana asadvadinaha, then we also have karya asadvadinaha. Two groups of people we have. And whereas Advaitins are the people who say that the karanam also was there before, karyam also was there before. So karana sad, karana karya sadvadinaha. So asadvadi sadvadi, okay? Karana asadvadinaha, karya asadvadinaha, then. But Advaitins are the people who say the karanam and karyam both existed before the creation of the universe. So nothing has been created newly. We are these two people. So Shankara Bhagavatpada wants to really make it very clear that karanam was there before, karyam also was there before. Nothing has been newly created, that he wants to establish that. Thereby he has to refute the karana asadvadis and the kahari asadvadis. Therefore he takes up this one line, naiveha kinchanagre asit, one sentence. And for which he takes the example of a clay pot. The clay pot, the pot made of clay has been taken for his, he is presenting the whole teaching. And he has done a big bhashyam commentary to establish that cause also existed before, effect also, like all the forms, names and functions, everything existed before. Nothing has been created. Only the forms, names and functions which are effects which were unmanifest before have come into manifestation. There was no creation at all, you know. So to establish that, he uses the example of a pot, and in Sanskrit it is called a ghataha. Therefore the whole commentary wherein he uses the term pot, ghataha, many times, this bhashyam itself is called ghata bhashyam. Okay? Ghata bhashyam. Anyway, before we understand what he says, let me make it very clear for you. And here, mainly, this kshanika vijnana vadinaha, what do they say? Let us understand. See, kshanikam, kshanam means fraction of second. Kshana means fraction of second. In Sanskrit, it is called kshanam. And kshanikam means momentary. Kshanikam means momentary. Vijnanam means cognition or knowledge, obtaining in the form of a thought. Kshanika vijnanam means momentary knowledge or momentary cognition obtaining in the form of a thought. This is kshanika vijnanam. Now you know what is kshanika vijnanam. Okay. this Yogachara Bauddhaha. We are not taking all the people. We are taking one of the four sects of the Buddhists. Okay, there are four branches of Buddhism, and one of these four branches is called Yogachara Bauddhamatam or Yogachara Buddhists. Okay, and they are also known as Kshanika Vijnana Vadinaha. And Kshanikam, as is told, means Kshanam means a fraction of second. Kshanika means momentary, which quickly comes and goes, which disappears, is Kshanikam. And Vijnana means cognition, obtaining in the form of a thought. Kshanika Vijnanam means a momentary thought. Okay. And what do these people say? This, according to this Yogachara Bauddhaha or Kshanika Vijnana Vadinaha, the whole entire universe doesn't exist. According to them, this entire external universe is not there. What does it mean? This entire universe, external universe is not there means the entire universe, every object we see outside, we perceive externally, is actually only obtaining in the form of a thought. Okay, the thought is what? No, the perception or cognition. Let me give you an example. If we see a tree, if we experience the tree, according to Yogachara Bauddha, it's only a tree cognition which appears in the form of a tree, external tree. And then there's the perception of the tree. The tree cognition means there's a tree. Tree cognition alone appears in the form of the tree. So wall means wall cognition. Cup means cup cognition. So whatever the varieties of objects we experience externally, basically they are all nothing but they're corresponding cognitions only. According to Yogachara Bauddhas, there is no external gross universe. They're all only projections of one's own thoughts. Which means, you can give an example also. In dream, when you're dreaming, we have the dream world. And we have dream tiger, dream monkey, dream human beings, and dream, everything dream. So whatever we experience in dream, a dream tiger, a dream element, a dream human beings, or dream vehicles, dream non-living things are all what? There's no real, even though we experience them, they seem to be external to us, but really speaking, they're all only in the form of thoughts. Our dream tiger, dream, all the dream living beings, non-living things, all the dream objects are only in the form of thoughts. All our dream objects are only thoughts. We know very well. Even though as long as you are in dream, it looks as though there's real external world. What is our dream? All the dream objects we enjoy, experience, even though they seem to be very real as long as you are in sleep, really speaking, they're all only in the form of thoughts. There is no gross tiger or a gross thing. I mean, they're all only our dream objects are really, they're not gross. They're all only in the form of thoughts. The entire dream, living beings, non-living things, the movements, the experiences, the everything, or everything which we experience in dream, you know, is nothing but thoughts. In the same way, they say, this external universe which you are experiencing also does not exist at all. So what is this external universe then? The external universe only is there. It's all nothing but cognitions or perceptions obtaining in the form of thoughts. Therefore, the external universe is only mental projection. See, be very careful. Huh? Now we understand, trying to understand Yogacara Bauddhas. Okay. They're only in the mock thoughts. The one point is very clear now, okay? According to Yogacara Bauddhas, the external world does not exist at all. All the external things which are experienced are what? Only our cognitions. Now, next thing is, this cognition or perception obtaining in the form of a thought. When you say tree is, means tree cognition is, the tree cognition or light cognition or fire cognition or donkey cognition, anything, any object which experiences only in the form of a cognition, in the form of a thought. All the objects which we are experiencing during the waking state, which seem to be external to us, outside of us, actually speaking, they do not exist at all. They only exist in the form of cognitions obtaining in the form of thoughts. There's only, how we look at the dream objects, the exactly same way they look at the external world objects also. They all have thoughts only, cognitions only. Is one point. Now, point number two. And this cognition is what? Vijnanam. Cognition is called Vijnanam. This Vijnanam is what? Kshanikam. Momentary. The, every cognition obtaining in the form of a thought only. And therefore, every cognition is momentary. It comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes. But there's a constant, continuous flow of cognitions, of thoughts, vrittis. Vritti, he means what now? Thoughts. Therefore, it's like the thoughts keep on coming because of the continuous flow of thoughts which come and go. Because of the flow of thoughts, the object seems to be continuously there. Next point. Now, in film, what happens? That when the reel is moving, even though the reel keeps moving, because it keeps moving very quickly, therefore, even though the person is different, same person, it looks as though the same person is sitting for a long time. Which means the continuous flow makes us feel as though the same person's continuous person is there. Really speaking, when the thoughts flow, no, then other thought comes. Other thought comes. Other thought comes. I can give you, again, I can make you understand. Suppose we look at the tree, it's a tree cognition. So one tree thought comes and goes, thought comes and goes, thought comes and goes, thoughts keep on flowing. And there's a tree cognition, tree cognition, tree cognition, tree cognition, tree cognition, tree cognition. Continuously tree is there in every cognition. According to them, when the cognition comes and goes, the tree also comes and goes. No, but it looks as though the tree is continuously existing. really speaking, the continuity, because of the continuous flow of thoughts, the object seems to be existing continuously, because according to them, there's no external world. There is no external world of gross objects at all. All the objects are only in the form of cognitions obtaining in him of thoughts. And the thoughts, constant continuous flow of thoughts, it seems there is a, no, the object seems to be there continuously. Therefore, for them, everything is kshanikam. There's nothing here. Everything is momentary. There's no external world of objects. And there's only objects obtaining in the form of cognitions, thoughts. And the thoughts are momentary. Therefore, all the objects are momentary. Everything is momentary. Subject is momentary. Object is momentary. Verb is momentary. Action is momentary. Everything is kshanikam. I'm going very, very slowly, okay? Everything is momentary. What about the external world which I continuously see here? There's no external world. If at all you see external object continuously, that is because of the continuous flow of thoughts. Therefore, everything is momentary. Therefore, there is no creation. There is no cause. There is no effect. There is no cause. There is no effect. Nothing exists. What we see externally, the entire gross universe, is nothing but projection of the cognitions obtaining in the form of thoughts. They're only thoughts. They're only cognitions. And those cognitions are momentary. Therefore, nothing has continuous existence. Therefore, there's no cause. There's no effect. There's no creation. There's no cause. There's no effect. There's no creation. And there's no external world. There's only constant, continuous flow of thoughts, the cognitions, obtaining in the form of thoughts. Kshanika vijnana vadinaha. And that's only we're projecting. Now the external world. Therefore, no cause means what? Nothing existed before. So, Upanishad sentence is correct. Now, before something, now the tree is there. Before I see the tree, experience the tree, there was nothing. Only thought was there. Thought comes, the tree comes. Thought goes, a new thought comes. New thought comes, a new thought comes. And then I see the tree continuously because so many thoughts come. I see the continuity of the tree outside. Really speak, a tree or any object outside. Which means there is no external world at all. There are only internal thoughts. And all the objects we are experiencing are only projections of the cognitions. And the cognitions are momentary. Therefore, subject, object, verb, action, cause, effect, everything what we see here, or what? Momentary cognitions obtaining in the form of thoughts. Therefore, before the, there's no creation. And before the creation, nothing existed before. They can misinterpret this sentence. And he says, and he uses this example of a pot, clay pot, and he says, when we say there is a pot, there is a pot cognition. The pot cognition means, and there is also clay. The clay alone is in the form of a pot. There is a clay cognition. There is also pot cognition. We have two cognitions. And before, the clay is the cause and the pot is the effect. And the clay must continue to exist for it to become the pot. Therefore, there's a continuity, continuous existence of the clay. And before it was me, just the clay. And now the same clay which was there before continues to be in the form of a pot. Same clay which was there before continues to be in the form of a pot. There is a continuity. According to them, there is no continuity. Everything is momentary. There is no continuity. And they will say, no, no. If you see clay, if there is a clay cognition, and the clay cognition is momentary. When you see the pot, they don't accept that which we saw as clay before, and the same clay continues to be here, continues to exist in the form of a pot now, in the present. Before it was a clay, just the clay without the form and name pot. Now the same clay is with the form and name pot. This is Shankara says. Before, the clay was without the form and name. Then we call it cause. The same clay, later on, with the form and name pot, we call it effect. Which means, before the clay was without the form and name, and after the pot is made, the clay continues to be there with the form and name, which means there's a continuity, the continuous existence, continuity of the clay, so that it is possible for the clay to be in the form of the pot. According to them, it is not acceptable. Why? Because they say before the clay was, now when you see the pot, the clay which you see second in the form of a pot is not the same clay. You know, not the same clay. It looks like this similar clay, but not the same. No, not the same thing continues to be there. It's a different one. Therefore, what they say, the clay obtaining in the form of a pot is different. So, clay cognition which was there before is different. Now, the pot cognition which you have now is different. So, clay cognition which was there before the pot cognition is different. And the pot cognition which comes after the clay cognition is different, which means they don't accept the continuity. So Yogacara Bauddhas do not accept the continuity of existence. That's why they're called Kshanika Vijnana Vadinaha. Kshanika Vadam, everything is Kshanikam. Everything is momentary. But Shankara says, no, no. But they say what? They say it is not continuity, it is similarity. It is not continuity, according to it is what now? It is similarity. Continuity in Sanskrit is called anuvrittihi. And similarity is called sadrishyam. So according to Yogacara Bauddhas, there is only similarity. If you see the one tree and the same tree, if you see, first you see the cause, then you see the effect. We see the continuity of the continuous existence of the cause with a form and name. Whereas they see that as what? Similarity. Before, the clay which existed, now also the same clay exists, not the same, similar clay exists, not the same clay, the similar clay exists with the form and name pot. Therefore, they take it as sadrishyam, similarity. What Shankaracharya calls as continuity is taken to be similarity by Yogacara Bauddhas. Therefore, what Shankara does here, what has been seen before, when you see a given thing for the first time, when you first experience it for the first time, it is just jnanam, the first experience, first hand experience. And the same thing, what you have seen once, what you've experienced once, when you are again seeing it, is called recognition, isn't it? When you what is recognition? Recognition is seeing something which has been seen before, or knowing something which has already been known before, or experiencing something which has been already experienced before. Once you experience it, know it, understand it, then the same thing when you are second time, when you see it, you call what now? You recognize it. Recognition is always of something which has been previously before known, experienced once. And is what recognition is called pratyabhijnanam. Shankara uses this pratyabhijnanam. Pratyabhijnanam, or I'm only just preparing you for Ghatabhashyam. If you don't understand today, don't worry. As much as you understand, you try to understand. Pratyabhijna. See, jnanam, knowledge. Vijnanam, cognition, we say. Now, pratyabhijnanam. 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 Pratyabhijna means recognition. So you must have seen something once, and when you recognize the same thing, when you see the same thing again, it means pratyabhijnanam. This pratyabhijnanam, which is known as recognition in English language, presupposes what? The continuity of something. Continuity of the cause. Okay, continuity. The continuity is emphasized by the word pratyabhijnanam, recognition. You saw something before, and the same first time, when you first time you see it, you cannot call it recognition. First time you are seeing it, only cognition, your knowledge. And the same thing, when you see it again, know it again, you recognize it, which means which was before, and which the same thing which you see now again, which was before, which is now also, which was before in the past, the same thing now you are seeing again, then it is called what now? Recognition. And that recognition implies the continuity of something. I saw this person last week, last month, last year, somewhere. I remember very well. Again, I see this person now. Means what? You are recognizing the person. The recognition of that person in a given context implies this person whom you had seen long ago or sometime before continues to exist. That is why you are seeing him again, recognizing him. So recognition implies continuity, not similarity. Recognition implies continuity, not similarity. Remember what he says? Hey, Yogacara Buddha. No, you are holding on to this idea that everything here is kshanikam. Everything is momentary. Thoughts are momentary. We do not deny the fact. Thoughts are momentary, no doubt. But therefore, thoughts, all the objects, external objects, are not there at all. Only thoughts are. Therefore, for every cognition comes and goes, and every object we experience outside is what? The projection of the given cognition. Therefore, we say, well, there's no continuity according to them. They say there is similarity. If you see me now, you are not seeing the same Swamini. According to Buddhas, you are not seeing the same Swamini. You are seeing similar Swamini. You saw one Swamini 10 minutes ago. Now you are seeing the same Swamini in front of you. But according to Buddhas, you are seeing the Swami who is similar in appearance, not the same. And I also have to say, one, according to Buddhas, there are people who are listening to me in front of me, and all of them are what now? Not the same people, the similar people. In the beginning of the class, there are some people, and they disappeared. Now, many people have disappeared. So in front of me who are sitting, these people are not the same people. Okay, they disappeared. And then people who are sitting in front of me are now. You know, similar people. Similar. Not the same, but similar. When you say not the same, similar, there's a kshanikam, momentary. But the same is what? Continuity. Sameness, simple. That person who was sitting before, the same person who is sitting in front of me means what? Continuity of the existence. The person who is sitting now looks like the person who was there before means what now? Similarity. Is similarity or continuity? According to Buddhas, there's only similarity, but not continuity. Why? Because everything is momentary. Therefore, the cause is momentary, effect is momentary. There's no cause, there's no effect, there's no subject, there's no object. Everything is momentary for them. Okay? Whereas, so he wants to make it very clear. No, there is a continuity. And for which he uses this pratyabhijnanam, recognition. Recognition. I saw somebody before. Now I see that person again. I recognize that person means that recognition of the very word term recognition implies there's a continuity of the same continuous existence of the same person. It's a continuity. Therefore what? Therefore, you can't say the kshanika means, no. You can't, there's a cause. There's a cause. There's a cause means what? Everything, any effect here existed before in the form of a cause. Okay? Everything, any effect must have existed before in the form of a cause. Therefore, there was a cause before. I told you already, we have to, in discussing the creation, these 3 points come. There are people who say there was no cause before the universe came into existence. Nothing existed. Nothing was there before the universe came into existence. Nothing was there means what? There was no cause as such. If there was no cause, you cannot talk about the effect also. And we have to say what? There was, what was there alone is here now also. The same thing is here now. What was there before continues to be here now in the form of the universe. What was there already in the form of clay, the same clay alone continues to be there in the form of a pot. What is pot? A pot is nothing but clay. But what was not there before? Form and name pot. The form and name pot were not there? No, they were there. The form and name pot also existed before, unmanifest in the clay. So clay was there before, the form and name pot also were there before, but unmanifest. Now the same clay is there now, and the form and name pot which are unmanifest are manifest now. Therefore what? There's a continuity of the substance. Continuity. So you cannot say there are people. No? So it's called, Shankara presents it as Karana Satta Vicharaha. Karana Satta Vicharaha. Karana Satta Vicharaha means inquiry into the existence of the cause. And he is also going to present Karya Satta Vicharaha. Enquiry into the existence of the effect. So, Karana Satta Vicharaha, Karya Satta Vicharaha. Okay, we have both. And in this Karana Satta Vicharaha, enquiry into the existence of the cause, what does Shankara do? Actually, it means before the creation, there was, the universe existed. This universe already existed. And this Karana Satta Vicharaha, enquiry into the existence of the cause, negates the Kshanika Vijnanavadis. I mean, people who say there was no cause before the, nothing existed. No, there's no cause before this universe came into existence. And there are some people who say cause was there, but the effect was not there. I told you Karana Asadvadis and then Karya Asadvadis. And he takes, so Karya Satta Vicharaha, enquiry into the existence of the effect, he presents to negate the people who say the effect was not there before. It means according to Shankara, the cause also existed before, effect also existed before. Really speaking, before there was a truth, which is neither the cause nor the effect, but cause and effect both were there in the form of one reality. And the same, one and the same reality later on what? Is in the form of cause and the effect. Like clay was there before, then it was not known as cause. Clay is not known as cause. Clay is not known as effect. Clay is just the clay. When later on the form and name pot become manifest, what happens? In the standpoint of the form and name pot, the clay is looked upon as cause and the form and name are looked upon as effects. That's all. Which means there's a continuity, isn't it? So, karanam asitva nava. Did the cause exist or not? There are many people who say there was no cause at all. Before the creation, nothing was there. Asadeveha asidagre. So Shankara with the Hari, oh my God, Upanishad presents this statement. Before others take this and quote this to present their argument, let me refute their argument. Therefore he takes it, he writes this Ghata Bhasham and makes it very clear. No. Before the clay was there, and now later on when I see the clay, I do not look at the clay as cause, nor do I look at the clay as effect. I just see the clay as clay. Later on, I see the pot in the market and I recognize what? I saw the clay before, then I see the pot later on. Oh, I have already seen this. Before I saw this clay. But when you see the pot, he recognizes the clay, but with the new form and the name pot. This recognition is called what? Pratyabhijnanam. Pratyabhijnanam. Because he recognizes this, what does it mean? There's a continuity of that clay. But one thing is, what's the difference now? Now, this form and name are the effects which were not separable from the same clay. And from the standpoint of this newly manifest form and name, clay is given the new title as what? Causal status is attributed to the clay. And from the standpoint of the clay, again, what? The form and name pot are looked upon as the effects. Really speaking, the cause and the effect both existed before. Cause also existed before. Effect also existed before. But without the titles, without the name effect, it was there. Until the clay becomes the pot, the clay does not have a causal status. Until the form and name pot becomes manifest, we don't call it an effect. We only say there's only satyam and mithya. Two orders are the same reality. So when you see the pot, I recognize the clay. This pratyabhijnanam, recognition of something, implies the continuous existence of the clay. It is not the similarity of the clay. Not that before the one clay, now the similar clay has come. Now what I see in the pot is not the same clay, no similar clay. No. This is not similarity, it is continuity. Is it clear now? Isn't it clear? He had to say. And this is how he doesn't say much. They only say even though the Buddhists have contributed a lot for our understanding, they contribute in the sense they have worked very hard without accepting the Vedashatam as a Pramanam also, and they worked but anyway, whatever they worked, still they used the Vedic knowledge without accepting the Veda. Not that they used Vaitain, they used everything. And that is why they could only arrive at the thoughts. And for them, the thinking was so sharp and nice, they could say this much. Our dream objects, we also say this. We use that. We also say, whatever dream world, dream objects we're experiencing, and when you are in dream, the dream world, dream objects seem to be external to you. They seem very, very real. But once you wake up from sleep, you understand the dream world, which seemed to be external, which seemed like a grass, the grass world, which seemed real, they're all nothing but thoughts. All the dream objects, the entire dream world, is only in the form of thoughts. Really is for thoughts only. Same way, what do they say? This external waking universe also does not exist at all. The external wake universe which we see, which does not exist at all for them. Okay? Doesn't exist at all. Why? It has come from nothingness. The external world does not exist at all. Then whatever you see, the external world, is not there. There's only thoughts, cognitions. And these cognitions are of the nature of quickly coming and going, coming and going. Therefore, each cognition is called Kshanika Vijnanam. Kshanika Vijnanam. What is tree? Kshanika Vijnanam. No, it's a cognition. There's the tree cognition. Tree is nothing but tree cognition obtaining in the form of a tree thought. What is man cognition, human being cognition, train cognition, bus cognition? Every object, any object, living or non-living, mobile or immobile, any object you perceive is what? You experience is every object is nothing but a momentary cognition obtaining in the form of a thought. Therefore, every thought comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes. There's no external world. There are no external objects here, which means only thoughts are there, and these thoughts are momentary. Therefore, whatever you see continuously is also what? There is similar objects. If I see one person in front of me continuously, they say, suppose if I see you for long time, for 1 hour, I've been seeing all of you. According to Buddhists, whom I've been seeing for past 1 hour are not the same people, but the similar people who look exactly the same, they keep on coming, continuously coming. And it's continuously arriving, departing, because of the constant flow. There is a seeming continuity. The Buddhist take is what now? There is a seeming continuity. There is no real continuity. There is only similarity. Therefore, what happens? There is no cause. There is no effect. There is no subject. There is no object. Therefore, nothing was there before the universe came into existence. Nihilism, okay, nothingness. Shunya, nothing was there before. All thoughts. It's called Karana Asadvadinaha. I had to go to one more thing. Shunyavada asks to come back to, but now we were taking one today. Shankar, I don't want to take too much in the country, confuse you. Just take only one point today. Shankara first deals with the Kshanika Vijnanavadinaha, otherwise called Yogachara Bauddhaha. Yogachara Bauddhaha, Kshanika Vijnana Vadinaha, same people. Okay, same. Two different names. So the important there is no seeming continuity. There is a real continuity. There is continuity. The continuity implies the universe has not been created newly. It existed before. It was already there. With all the forms, names and functions unmanifest. In the form of the truth. Is it just to take only Kshanika Vijnana Vada today, it's enough. When you use the term Vijnanam, see the word Vijnanam in Bhagavad Gita, Jnanam, Vijnanam, you understand it's a different meaning, you understood. But here Vijnanam literally means here the cognition obtaining in the form of a thought. So Kshanika Vijnanam is the momentary. And we already know thoughts are momentary. Thoughts are momentary. We don't deny it. But so every time the thought comes, a given cognition rises and there's a projection of the corresponding external object. And when that thought goes, and that object also disappears along with the thought. According to Yogacara Bauddhas, there is no corresponding object projected by a given cognition disappears along with the thought. No. See, before the creation, in fact, there's no creation at all. Only if you say there's a creation, talk about it, isn't it? There's no creation. All these differences and all, we only talk later on. So when the cognition, the momentary cognition obtaining in the form of a thought disappears, along with the thought, the object also disappears. Because there's no real object, according to him. There's no external world. There are only cognitions, which are momentary. Suppose we happen to see the same thing continuously for him. There's no according to him, there's a continuity of the same object. There is a similar object. Suppose the 100 thoughts come and go. In 100 thoughts, suppose if one person is continuously seen, according to him, the 100 similar people appeared. Suppose I see you for 1 hour. According to Yogacara Bauddha, I see throughout 60 minutes, I see similar people. Continuously, my cognitions project similar people. That way, he only accepts the similarity, not the continuity. Once you say continuity is not there, means you cannot talk about the cause. You cannot talk about the satta. You have to say what now? Nothing existed before. You have to hold on to the view nothing existed before. Before Asad was there, nothing was there. But we cannot say that we are not the people who say nothing was there before. We do not say cause was not there before. We do not say effect was not there before. We say cause and effect, everything existed as one. Only one thing was there without the cause and without the effect. Without the title, without the qualification as cause and effect, one thing, one truth alone was there before. Therefore, Satta alone was there before. Reality alone was there before. Without this cause-effect division, without cause-effect difference, knower known knowledge triputi difference, without any difference, there was truth alone before. This is established by Shankara. And whereas according to Yogacara Bauddha, there was nothing was there before. Therefore, there was not a cause, there's no effect also. So whatever you see now in the present, only projection of the thoughts, the cognitions. Whatever you experience outside is only the thought, the cognition. So this is the first thing he takes for, this is the first portion of the, actually the Shankara's Ghatabhashyam is presented in the two portions. The first portion of Ghatabhashyam negates the Karana Asadvadis. Second portion of the Bhashyam negates the Karya Asadvadis, who say the effect was not there before. So first Shankara refutes the people who say cause was not there. And Shankara second refutes the people who say effect was not there before. And then he establishes cause and effect both were there before in the form of one truth. And for which he presents the vichara, Karana Satta Vicharaha, then Karya Satta Vicharaha, inquiry into the existence of the cause, and inquiry into the existence of the effect. These two Vicharas he present to negate the two wrong views. He negated using the Karana Satta Vichara. Enquiry into the existence of the cause, he negated the people who say the cause was not there before, and he negated the people using Karya Satta Vicharaha, enquiry into the existence of the effect, he negated the people who said effect was not there before. By saying, what does he establish? Cause also was there before. Effect also was there before, but not without the difference, cause-effect difference. It was there before. Anyway, so before the creation, cause was there, effect was there. The cause also is not created, effect also is not created. Cause and effect both were there. Without this cause-effect difference as one reality, one truth, when the truth became manifest, the only what was the form, name and functions in terms of effect alone was unmanifest, has become manifest. This manifestation of effects from the form, name and function is called creation. So only one point today, if you remember, it's enough. We don't need to go to the other one. So two vicharas, remember. Karana Satta Vicharaha means enquiry into the existence of the cause. Karya Satta Vicharaha, enquiry into the existence of effect. These two arguments Shankara present to establish that cause existed before, the effect existed before, which means nothing has been created newly. But the cause and effect both existed before as one truth without the cause-effect division. So cause-effect thing. And this forms, names and functions, which alone are, which looked upon as effects, they are unmanifest before. Unmanifest becoming manifest is, look, is called creation. So manifestation is called creation. There's no real creation. So it is not something unreal. It is not something tucham. It is not something asat. So karana asadvadinaha, karya asadvadinaha, they both are refuted by Shankara here. Why he has to refute? Because this very opening sentence is very frightening sentence. Upanishad itself says what now? Na eva iha kinchana agre asit. Kinchana, see, na eva, naiva asit. Naiva asit. Kinchana naiva asit. Nothing existed at all before the creation of the universe. Naiva asit kinchana agre. Before the creation of the universe, nothing existed at all. It's a statement. This Upanishadic statement, other people will take it and make use of it. They will quote to say, oh, Upanishad itself says nothing existed before the creation. Therefore, Shankara Bhagavatpada, he takes his statement and to teach that, to refute these two people, mainly people who say the cause did not exist before, effect did not exist before, nothing was there before, suddenly the universe came into existence, to refute those people, and he writes this big bhashyam, the most popular commentary called Ghata Bhashyam. Just the whole teaching he explains, teaches using only the clay pot. Gata, 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 gata. You read the, I want it without using Sanskrit, I'm just telling you everything here like this. You know, repeat, use the word gata, 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 gata. Therefore, gata, it's called Gata Bhashya. And wherein he makes it very clear, first, the first person whom he negates is, hope now, I think some, it, in the initial when he started talking, it must have been very confusing for you, isn't it? Now it must have become a little clear now. Little clear at least now. Yeah. I know when he started, it must have sounded a little boring. Rest, no, I could see that. Now it must have, maybe okay. It always happens. And first thing, whom first, who is the person who, whom he deals with? First he addresses is Yogachara Bauddha. And who is also known as Shanika Vijnana Vadi. And so we should know what Shanika Vijnana Vadi is, what is his view? We should know. Only if we know what his view is and we can understand how Shankara, what Shankara's vision is. See, when I say Shankara, I say Shankara's vision. Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada's vision, how he establishes, then how he refutes the view of Kshanika Vijnana Vadi. View, when I say, it is only his contention, only it is his view, which is not different from there are many other people's view. Whereas a vision is a fact. It is not a view. Shankara Bhagavatpada's is not a view. It's a vision. Kshanika Vijnanavadi's is not a vision. It is a view. Contention. It is his view. And what is his view? And he, to present his view, he can quote this Upanishadic statement. What is the meaning of this statement? We are going to see later on. But before going there, the very first sentence, It's very important for us to understand. And his view is, this external world is non-existent, unreal. Okay, that is why many people write this. This external world is unreal, tucham. External world is unreal, tucham. It does not exist at all. So, Kanika Vijnanavadi, for us, external world is not tucham. It is not unreal. It is not real also, but it is mithya. It's a big difference. Kshanika Vijnanavadi says external world is unreal. Unreal means what? No, tucham. Tucham means what? It doesn't exist at all. If you ask him, how do you say the world doesn't exist at all? We are experiencing this world. We are seeing things. And he will say what? Whatever you are seeing outside is nothing but, really speaking, is only your internal cognitions. The cognitions only. And those cognitions are of the nature of coming and going. They are momentary. Therefore, every time the thought comes, and that it projects the corresponding object outside, and when the thought disappears, the object also, along with the thought, object also disappears. Therefore, he does not accept the continuity or the continuous existence of objects. That is why he says the world is non-existent. You know, he'll say what? Oh, we're experiencing. Even for you to talk, the world is non-existent. You must be, some reality must be there, isn't it? If you ask him. Amazing, isn't it? He presents his argument. But he says what? The world is unreal. The world is unreal. Which means the world doesn't exist at all. So it doesn't accept the existence of the external gross world. Which means, it's kshanikam. He says, where is the world? It's all my cognition. Suppose if you say, tell him, no, we see things continuously, same thing I'm seeing, if you say, he will say, no, you are not continuously seeing the same person. Whom you are seeing is what now? Then the continuously is not that. The similar people you are seeing. No? You are not seeing the same people continuously, but you are seeing what now? The similar people. And because the flow of thought, the speed of the flow of thoughts is such that there seems to be a seeming continuity. There's no real continuity. Okay? There seems to be continuity. Like in films. But it's similar, the fast, the thoughts keep flowing. Therefore, the same similar people come together. What happened is there seems to be one person. Therefore, for him, this external world is unreal. Okay? External world is unreal. It doesn't exist at all. It's only projection of momentary thoughts. Therefore, nothing is here. Therefore, nothing, there's no cause, no effect, nothing existed before. There was no creation also. This just this whole, whatever you're experiencing is projection of the momentary thoughts. The similar projections of the momentary thoughts. Therefore, there's nothing existed before. So he is a Karana Asadvadi. Karana Asadvadi means Karana Asadvadi. There's the Karya Asadvadi. Nothing existed before. So he is a nihilist. This is Shunyavadi. But what does Shankara establish? There was a cause, there was an effect, both existed before, but without this difference, cause-effect difference, as one truth. Therefore, there is no creation of the cause, there is no creation of the effect. The causal status was unmanifest, the effect was unmanifest. There, as the, all of both remained as one truth, and then they became unmanifest, became manifest, which is called a creation. This is argument. So surely this forms the first argument. This forms the first portion of his Ghatabhashyam. The second portion of the Ghatabhashyam has what now? Karya Asadvada. He is going to negate the other person who says there's no effect before the creation. That we'll see in next class. Now, I just only said today, Naiveha Kinchana Agre Asid. Only one sentence. Naiveha Kinchana Agre Asid. Na Eva Naiva Iha Here Kinchana something Agre Asid. Nothing existed at all before this universe came into existence. Before the universe was created. The Upanishad statement, but Shankara is going to give different, Upanishad means something else. But using this sentence, he wants to present his, establish the fact that all that was there before was the only reality, Brahma. The same reality, Brahman, is now in the form of the universe, Brahma. What was there before was Brahma. What is now here also is also Brahma. All that was there was Brahma. All that is here now is also Brahma. Before, without the Nama Rupam, there is a Brahma. Now, with the Nama Rupa Sahitam Brahma. Nama Rupa Rahitam Brahma. Without name and form, when the truth was there, it is we called Nirgunam Brahma or Brahma. And now the universe is what? Brahma. But with the Nama Rupa, so Sagunam Brahma. So Brahma, the truth was, truth alone is there now in the form of the universe. All that is there is only truth. Nothing has been created. There was unmanifest and has become manifest. There is no creation. There is no destruction also. Nothing is created, nothing is destroyed. What is now is going to become unmanifest again, again to become manifest. Therefore, there is a absolutely eternal truth and the universe is perennially eternal forms and names. There is no creation, there is only manifestation. This finally, that Brahma Satyam, you have to discover as yourself. Aham Brahma Asmi. That truth, you have, that reality, you have discovered as your Swarupam. This is the final teaching, okay? But for which only one thing today has been introduced. These names, remember, it is enough. Karana Asadvadi, Karya Asadvadi, both have been negated using Karana Satta Vicharaha and Karya Satta Vicharaha. Have you made it clear or confused? Have you confused it today? Nod your heads, please. Please feel free to say yes, like this. Nod big. Thank God. We are not doing Agni Upasanam, okay? Only Vedanta one is going to come. Upasanam is only instrumental here. Using the Agni Upasanam, the topic is taken somewhere else. That's why Brihadaranyaka, students of Brihadaranyaka means advanced students. this, they won't be srishti like this. Okay, srishti prakriya means what? Not a srishti prakriya. This is a srishti prakriya directly discussed here. Upasana is discussed. And there upasana, we talk about the Agni upasana. And Agni is glorified. Oh my God, Agni has to pose the whole India. One person, Modi, represents the whole of India when he goes somewhere else. This another country means what? One prime minister goes means he represents the whole of Bharata Desh. So the person who represents the whole must be a great person, not an ordinary person. Isn't it? When you say the Agni is, Agni symbolizes Virat, the whole, Bhagavan, the whole means what? Agni must be highly great, great. One thing to represent the whole, it must have some greatness about it. So Agni represents the whole Jagat, whole Virat, Mahavishnu. Therefore Agni has, so presents the glory of you, Agni. And there Upanishad talks about the origin of Agni. Therefore, to talk about the origin of the Agni, it has to present the Srishti. In that Srishti topic, it presents, starts saying what? Nothing existed before the creation. And that stated one sentence, Shankara uses Ghata Bhasham, he presents, to negate the, is it? Karana Asadvadi, Kari Asadvadi, and establishes what was there was Sat, and what, now what, the same thing is now also, nothing has been created. He has to establish. Okay? This is an introduction to Ghata Bhasham. Initially I confused you, but now I think before I conclude, I think I have given some clarity. I'm sure. So okay, I'll see you in the next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harih Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harih Om.